So I'd like to share a story. This is a true story and testimony written by Elizabeth King English in December 1995 as she recollects her memory. The event of this wonderful story actually happened in 1949. Herman and I locked our store and dragged ourselves home to South Caldwell Street. It was 11 p.m. Christmas Eve of 1949. We were dog tired. Ours was one of those big old general appliances stores that sold everything from refrigerators, toasters, and record players to bicycles, dollhouses, and games. We had sold almost all of our toys and all of the layaways except one package that had been picked up. Usually, Herman and I kept the store open until everything had been claimed. We wouldn't have woken up happy on Christmas morning knowing that some child gift was still on the layaway shelf. But the person who had put a dollar down on that package never returned. Early Christmas morning, our 12-year-old son, Tom, and Herman and I were around the tree opening gifts. But there was something humdrum about this Christmas. Tom was growing up. He had wanted just clothes and games. I missed his childish exuberance of past years. As soon as breakfast was over, Tom left to visit his friend next door. Herman mumbled, "I'm going back to sleep. There's nothing left to stay up for." So there I was alone, doing the dishes and feeling let down. It was nearly 9 a.m., and sleet mixed with snow cut the air outside. The wind rattled our windows, and I felt grateful for the warmth of the apartment. Sure glad I don't have to go out on a day like today, I thought, picking up the wrapping paper and ribbons strewn around the living room. And then it began, something I had never experienced before, a strange, persistent urge. It seemed to be telling me to go to the store. I looked at the icy sidewalk outside. "That's crazy," I said to myself. I tried dismissing the urge, but it wouldn't leave me alone. In fact, it was getting stronger. Well, I wasn't going to go. I had never gone to the store on Christmas Day in all the 10 years we had owned it. No one opened shop on that day. There wasn't any reason to go. I didn't want to, and I wasn't going to. For an hour, I fought that strange feeling. Finally, I couldn't stand it any longer, and I got dressed. "Herman," I said, feeling silly, "I think I'll walk down to the store." Herman woke with a start. "Whatever for? What are you going to do there?" "Oh, I don't know," I replied lamely. "There's not much to do here. I just think I'll wander down." He argued against it a little, but I told him that I would be back soon. "Well, go on," he grumped. "But I don't see any reason for it." I put on my gray wool coat and tam, then my shoes, red scarf, and gloves. Once outside, none of those garments seemed to help. The wind cut right through me, and the sleet strung my cheeks. I groped my way the mile down to 111 East Park Avenue, slipping and sliding. I shivered and tucked my hands inside my pocket to keep them from freezing. I felt ridiculous. I had no business being out in that bitter chill. There was the store just ahead. In front of it stood two boys, one about 9 and the other 6. What in the world? I wondered. Here she comes, yelled the older one. He had his arm around the younger. See, I told you she would come, he said jubilantly. They were half frozen. The younger one's face was wet with tears. But when he saw me, his eyes opened wide and his sobbing stopped. What are you two children doing out here in this freezing rain? I scolded, hurrying them into the store and turning up the heat. You should be at home on a day like this. They were poorly dressed. They had no hats or gloves, and their shoes barely held together. I rubbed their small icy hand and got them up close to the heater. We've been waiting for you, replied the older boy. He told me that they had been standing outside since 9 a.m., the time I normally opened the store. Why were you waiting for me? I asked, astonished. My little brother Jimmy didn't get any Christmas. He touched Jimmy's shoulder. He wanna buy some skates. That's what he wants. We have these $3. See, Miss Lady, he said, pulling the bills from his pocket. I look at the money in his hand. I look at their expectant faces, and then I look around the store. I am sorry, I said, but we've sold almost everything. We have no... Then my eye caught sight of the layaway shelf with its loan package. Wait a minute, I told the boys. I walked over, picked up the package, and unwrapped it. Miraculously, there was a pair of skates. Jimmy reached for them. Lord, I pray silently, let them be his size. And miracle added upon miracle, they were his size. When the older boy finished trying the laces on Jimmy's right skate and saw that it fit perfectly, he stood up and presented the $3 to me. No, I'm not going to take your money, I told him. I couldn't take his money. I want you to have these skates, and I want you to use your money to get some gloves. The boys just blinked at first. Then their eyes became like saucers, and their grins stretched wide when they understood I was giving them the skate. What I saw in Jimmy's eye was just like a blessing. It was pure joy, and it was beautiful. My spirits rose. After the children had warmed up, I turned down the heater, and we walked out together. As I locked the door, I turned to the older brother and said, "How lucky that I happened to come along when I did. If you had stood there much longer, you would have frozen." "But how did you boys know that I would come?" I wasn't prepared for his reply. His gaze was steady. He answered me softly. "I knew you would come," he said. "I asked Jesus to send you." The tingles in my spine weren't from the cold. I knew God had planned this. We waved goodbye. I turned home to a brighter Christmas than I had left. Tom brought his friend over to our house. Herman got out of bed. His father, Papa English, and sister Ella came by. We had a delicious dinner and a wonderful time. But the one thing that made that Christmas really joyous was the one thing that makes every Christmas wonderful. Jesus was there. Emmanuel, God's presence with us, always comforts us, provides peace. We encounter many moments in our lives when we long to feel God, when we face fears, worries, and inner struggles. We tend to rationalize our circumstances and doubt God. However, we need a childlike faith. There is no need for extensive thought processing or agonizing over our situation. We should simply believe, as the boys did. People may dismiss our faith as a naivety, but we experience Emmanuel through belief. Sometimes God's method do not make sense, as Elizabeth felt that strange urge. Questions don't always lead to answers, but rather more questions. When we follow God's movement in our hearts, instead of questioning, we see God's hand in His people and upon us. I pray that God will touch our hearts tonight and grant us childlike faith to perceive God. Amen.